This is the A2R Recovery Service podcast. Copyright Dave Cooper, all rights reserved.
Hello, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another in the A2R series of podcasts. So we're going to look at setting yourself up to fail. And so what does this mean? Well, it means that there is probably an attitude in you that knows deep down whether you want to succeed or not. And sometimes, we can want it too badly, sometimes we can want it too much. Sometimes we can know deep down that we're not going to succeed. We may be doing it for someone else, but deep down we know that we're not approaching this in a serious enough way. Sometimes that's all part of the process, that's all part of what we need to be doing, but are you ready now to succeed? If you look at your life history, if you look at the things you do, you will find that there are certain things that you have to succeed in. In fact, let's start with wanting to succeed. You want to succeed, and then there are certain things where you have to succeed. Very interesting question, of course, whether you're in that place, because you may not be. You may not be. And in which case, my real recommendation would be don't try it. That would have to be my call, because, failure builds up. Failure builds up. There's an accumulative sense of failing and not doing what you meant to do, not doing what you set out to do, that adds up and makes it harder the next time. So my call there would be don't try it, but to really seriously look at what it is you really want. What is it? What stage are you really at? What are you really trying to do? Because, as I say, if you look in your past, you will find things that you have made up your mind, this one's going to work, or this is what I really want, or I'm going to definitely do it this time. There'll be that time when maybe you were climbing a tree, or maybe you were climbing a wall, or somewhere you had to jump across a gap, and there was no way you could get it wrong. You had to land on the other side. You had to get this thing right. And there's something about your concentration levels. When that happens, your commitment level says, this one's going to work. Now, you might be saying to yourself, what do you mean setting yourself up to fail? Why would anyone do that? Why would anyone approach something and say, I'm not going to get this right, I'm going to fail, right? This may seem like an unusual idea, but to understand it, we have to go back, we have to step back, and we have to understand a little bit of psychology, a little bit about how the mind works, because we have two sides to our mind. And the first side is the one we spend all our time in. This is the conscious side. This is the bit that works stuff out. This is the stuff that goes around like a washing machine sometimes. This is the stuff where all the pictures and all the words are. But there's another side, and that is the unconscious. This is the part of the mind that is working just as much, probably more than the conscious, but is unseen. You can't see it, and you never will see it, but you definitely will see the results of it. It carries all your beliefs, all your structures, all your training, all your history, and it's constantly producing. It's constantly producing in a way that therapists sometimes call making meaning. So we have this unconscious drive, we have this unconscious motivation all the time, and sometimes that motivation that's coming from the unconscious is in direct conflict with the conscious. And so we have inner conflict where your conscious mind might be saying, I've got to stop using drugs, I've got to stop gambling, but your unconscious mind is saying, no, we can't do that yet. We can't do that yet. It's too painful. What we would have to face if we stopped, what we'd have to deal with, I have to cover that. I have to anaesthetize. I have to get out. Where's the exit door? And so this unconscious that's where we're going to end up. That's where we're going to end up, is where the unconscious is driving us. So I wanted to just look at, I just think it's an interesting question for someone who's even just considering stopping, someone who's just considering what to do next. And there's four ways I want To look at in which you may be setting yourself up to fail. Now, you may identify with some of these ways as you look back. You may say, oh yeah, I've done that. Or you may be find this more useful to think about looking forwards and saying, oh, I was just about to do it that way. So let's have a look at these four ways that I have seen over the years of ways that people set themselves up to fail. Number one, going too fast. Sometimes people, in fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to run through the four and then I'm going to explain them. Number one, going too fast. Number two, going too slow. Number three, proving your own theory. And number four, indirect communication. And I'm going to look at all four now briefly, just to give you a taste of how you may be setting yourself up to fail or have done so in the past. Firstly, going too fast. Now, this is generally called people-pleasing. Someone who's going too fast, obviously it's a question of patience, it's a question of I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. But generally speaking, there'll be a people-pleasing idea here. It'll be a sense of often people who go too fast are people who are doing it for someone else. A lot of people come into treatment with me and say, oh, you know, my wife's just left or my husband's just left. How can I get them back? What can I do to get them back? There's all that sort of stuff of trying to go too fast, and it's just manipulation, basically. And you're definitely setting yourself up to fail. You're doing it for someone else. You're doing it to get something. Nothing wrong with that, but it's what you're trying to get that's the problem. And generally speaking, there will be a level of denial, a level of minimising that is occurring there, because what you're saying, when you go too fast, it's like you're saying, this thing isn't really big. This thing isn't really going to challenge me. I'm just going to conquer this. I'm just going to do it, and it's not that big a deal. Or, you know, you sort of just deny it altogether. It's not even a problem. I'm just going to stop, and I'm going to stop today, and it doesn't matter. Now, that sort of stuff generally is going too fast. So ask yourself, are you setting yourself up to fail by trying to achieve things too quickly? If you are a people pleaser, then your tendency will be to say yes to every question without thinking about it, because it's an unconscious reaction rather than a conscious response. It's not considered. It comes straight from your unconscious. Yes. And the reason is because you want to please people, you want them to think well of you and so on. So try considering your answers. If you're going too fast or if you're that kind of person, try thinking about your answer and think, I'll get back to you on that. Or try not to give an answer straight away. Say, I'll think about that, I'll get back to you. Can I let you know later on? Try thinking, is this going too fast? Is what's being asked of me here or what I'm asking of myself too much? Let's look at the second one, going too slow. Now, this definitely, again, sets people up to fail. It's like hanging around too long in the danger area. The danger area where you're on the edge, you could use again, you could act out again, and instead of moving on in your recovery, which is what we have to do in an authentic recovery, we go too slow and we stay in an area of danger too long. That area of danger can be staying with the same friends, sometimes going to the same places. You know, often a person who's stopped drinking will continue to go to a pub with friends who drink a lot. And, you know, drinkers tend to surround themselves with drinkers because it normalises their behaviour. But if they don't change the way they do things, if they don't move on, then this could be called setting yourself up to fail by going too slow. Now, this is generally connected with a lack of determination, a lack of resolve. A person who's going too slow hasn't denied or minimised, but what they've done is they've not really made up their mind to stop. They've not really said to themselves, I'm definitely going to do this and I want to get there, you know, quickly. There's an old saying in the AA fellowship, you know, they say, easy does it, but do it. You know, easy does it, but do it. Don't not do it. Or don't go slowly because you're telling yourself, oh, I'm going easy. You know, basically the attitude should be, I'm going to get there as fast as I can without rushing. That should be the attitude. I'm going there as fast as I can without rushing. So a sense of going too slow is how you may be setting yourself up to fail. The third one is proving your own theory. Now, this is for the ego-driven amongst us, you know, I must be right kind of people. If you say to yourself, for instance, I can't stop drinking, you know, this is a very powerful statement you might say to yourself, about yourself. Now, that's sort of okay if you're describing a history or something like that. But if you're an ego-driven person and you imagine if you have to be right, imagine, you know, we've all seen people like this, you know, maybe we've behaved like this, where there's a fear about not being right, you know, that certain people, you know, they can't accept it if they're wrong or something. Well, imagine someone like that saying, I can't stop drinking. You've then got this inner conflict where they've said something in the negative, I can't, and they must be right. Well, they're going to prove that theory. They're going to prove it every time. If they say, I can't do it, and they must be right, then their own ego is tripping them up all the time. So this is not about pace now, too fast or too slow. It's more about ego. It's more about position. It's more about, I must be right, so, and I've said it can't happen, so therefore I'm going to trip myself up and make sure that I'm staying in my safe place of being right all the time. Let's look at the fourth one. This is indirect communication. Now, again, this may be a weird one to grasp at first, but I can't tell you the number of times I've seen it, the number of times I've worked with it, and what it means is this. I've done a whole blog and a whole series of podcasts on indirect communication. I urge you to go and look at that and listen to that whilst you're understanding this, because there's a lot to this and there's a lot of information there for you. But if I now speak with an assumption that you've seen that and processed it a little bit, then I can talk about indirect communication. And what it involves in the terms of setting yourself up to fail, it means that you're saying something without saying it. Indirect communication is trying to get someone to hear something without having to go through the difficulty of saying it. So you're trying to communicate it in other ways. Now, let's say you wanted to communicate to the world how much you're suffering. And this is the position that a lot of addicts are in. They want people to know how hard it is. They want people to know just how much they're suffering. And, well, what does that? Well, you can either tell people, well, that would be too direct for a lot of people. So what's the indirect communication? Well, it's failure. The indirect communication of letting the world know how much you're suffering is to keep failing. And it's like the addict is saying, well, surely now they'll get it. Surely now they'll understand how hard it is for me because I just failed again. And if I succeed, oh, well, here's a problem. Why? Because now people won't understand necessarily how much suffering I've been through. I'll give you a typical structure of this when you deal with people in counselling. Take the case of a young lady who's depressed and acting out, and what she's reporting to me as a counsellor is that she was abused as a child. She was sexually abused by a friend of the family or an uncle or something like that. And what she's saying is, no one knows about this. No one's ever been told. And so the psychological structure starts to emerge then that says, if I get well, if I recover, if I'm doing well, then what's going to happen is that it's like letting him off. It's like he didn't do it, because the only sign, the only evidence that he did this crime is my suffering. Unless I keep failing, he's going to be let off. So again, you can see how when this young lady asks herself to do anything that's going to make her happy, healthy, or recovered, anything towards the healthy side of life, it's like she's got to let him off to do that. So the psychological work has to be done first of resolving her past issues. Otherwise, she's setting herself up to fail. I hope that helps to run through those four quickly. I don't like to take a lot of time over these things because I know people have busy lives and I want these things to be brief and punchy. So I hope you got a lot from that. And until next time, bye for now.